I'm going to read out of Romans chapter 8 today, and we're going to learn a little bit about the power of groaning in God and what that means. And we're going to start in Romans chapter 8. I'll start in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now this verse is used multiple times when someone has a hard moment. They have a car wreck, they get sick, they have a physical problem, financial problem, something bad happens to them. And you'll hear people say, well, be encouraged that all things are turned to good, all things work together for good in those who are called according to God's purpose. And that verse is used to try to bring comfort. But if it's misused, it doesn't have the power it's supposed to have. So today we're going to look at what that verse really means and who can apply that verse and to what situation you can apply that verse in your life. Because this is a very important verse for you and for me to know that when we go through difficult times, we can have confidence that God's able to turn anything that comes against us to His good. We know that God doesn't cause sickness or disease or poverty, that God has nothing to do with that, that that's part of this world and part of the enemy, but not of God. So let's look at what this means. And in this, we're going to get to the word groaning, and we're going to read it a few times to really understand what that groaning is about. We'll come back to Romans 8 because we're going to study that, but let's go over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And we're going to look at the word groaning and what groaning has to do with that verse where we can look at all things being turned together to good. Because groaning is a key point of who's allowed to claim that verse. I'll start in chapter 4, verse 16, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So here in context, Paul is describing this process that you're in as a newborn, as a believer, with a new nature in you, where you have an outward man that is perishing and an inward man that is being renewed, hopefully is being renewed day by day. The renewing doesn't happen automatic. It's on purpose. You have to, on purpose, provide the renewing day by day for your inner man. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So I want you to catch the imagery, which is similar to what we read in Romans 8, that this light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding the eternal weight of glory. And I'll read out of Romans 8, verse 28, for we know all things work together for good to those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. So let's acknowledge that those are similar in meaning. Paul's writing something similar to the Corinthian church that he wrote to those in Rome in this context. So these are both, you can tie 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 with Romans chapter 8. Same message, different crowd. For we do not look at things which are seen, verse 18, 2 Corinthians 4, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now here he's talking about the outward man and the inward man. For we know, verse 1 of chapter 5, that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So now he's discussing this external mortal body that you're wearing, that we have the earthly house. This mortal body you're wearing is the natural body, the fingers and toes, nose and hair, but also the natural part of your soul, mind, emotions, and desires. And we're wearing it still. So we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a body from God. He's talking about when the trumpet sounds, you're going to receive a new outward body. It'll be made of heavenly material. It's called spiritual body. It's called the eternal body. That's the body we will receive, and the outward soul, mind, emotions, and desires will be completely righteous like your inward man is and your new nature is. So let's read verse 1 again. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a body from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. So here's that word groan that we want to talk about today. In this we groan. So in the fact that I'm wearing an outward body that is perishing, it is being diminished as I grow up in God, this outward man is what pulls me away from God, pulls me into this world, into life, into sin, but into this world. He says in verse 2, in this we groan, in the fact that I'm wearing an outward man that has not been glorified yet, that is still dead, still of the old Adam, even though I'm still wearing this outward soul that is compelling me to serve myself and not serve God, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. So he's saying, in this fact that I'm stuck with this outward body that's pulling me away from the things of God, it has deeds and desires, the outward soul, that's my groaning. I'm groaning. Groaning isn't just, it's not a complaining groan. Groaning is so much more than that. But there's a groaning that's important. This groaning refers to more of an effort to make something happen. That is why, how I would describe this word groaning, that it's an effort, that I'm making an effort. I'm groaning as I'm making an effort. Maybe you've seen someone or you've done yourself when you start to try to push something. There's a time where I would drive my car and get stuck in the snow up in Canada, and you'd have to push, someone would push the car. And so you'd get out and push the car. Well, the smallest person would drive, and everyone else would push the car. And when you push the car, you would make effort, and you'd groan trying to push that car forward. Someone at the gym trying to lift weights. If someone's on a treadmill, they're not really groaning. But when someone's trying to push weight and make weight move, heavy weights, you hear a groan as they make the effort to push that weight forward to make something move. And that's the groaning he's talking about here. In this we're groaning, earnestly desiring to be clothed with the habitation which is from heaven. So the groaning is, I want to live like I have an outward body that doesn't fight God, an outward soul that doesn't fight God, that desires God, that only wants God. I'm groaning against it. I'm making an effort to diminish the outward man and to build up the inward man. That's the effort we're talking about here. If indeed being clothed, we now shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality will be swallowed up by life. For we are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. So the groaning isn't, oh, I wish, it's not complaining, oh, I wish I didn't have this outward body, take it from me, God. No, this groaning is, I'm wanting to be further clothed. It is a groaning to bring forward the inner man to line up with God while I diminish the outward man's ability to lead me and tell me who I am. And really is called transformation. And this is important when you understand that the groaning here is not complaining. It's not whining about, oh, I just wish I didn't have this. It is a effort to bring forward the attributes of God in our life, the characteristics of Christ forward, while diminishing the voice and the attributes of the outward man that we've been left with. So now let's go back to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to get to verse 28 again. That's where we're going to end today, talking about, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. That verse is only used for those who are groaning. I'm going to prove that to you, that if you're groaning, then if you're practicing groaning, then you can lay claim to that verse that when anything bad happens, any struggle happens, that you can have confidence that all things will be turned together for good. One guy preached, you know, I was in a car wreck and broke my leg and my arm and went to the hospital. And while I was in the hospital, I got to witness to the nurse praise God that God turns all things together for good. Pastor Dave said, well, that's nice to say, but you know, why didn't God have to wreck your car and break your leg and your arm for you to go witness? How about he just tells you, go to the hospital and witness to this nurse? That verse is not randomly used for everyone. That's a verse you can claim if you are practicing the groaning that we're talking about. We read in 2 Corinthians here, the groaning is about wanting to be further clothed with the new body, the eternal body that comes when the trumpet sounds, that will be righteous and holy, as righteous as your new nature is and as righteous as your inner man is. And not just the physical body, but also the soul, the mind, the emotions of the outward man will be as righteous and holy as your inner man is, as Jesus is himself. So Romans 8, we'll start in verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So creation is waiting. We're waiting for that new eternal body. Creation is waiting for the trumpet and waiting for the moment that the earth is rebirthed into a new earth and the universe is rebirthed into a new universe. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. So the groaning here and the laboring here is about bringing forth the new child, a new baby, bringing forth the new creation in context. That's the groaning. So the groaning that he's talking about here is a groaning that says, I am making an effort to bring forward something new, to move something, to make something happen. When we gave birth, I always laugh and say, yeah, me and my wife, I know what it's like to have labor and give birth. We have two kids, and all the women get mad at me because as a man, you have no idea what labor is. You never will. But, you know, I watched my wife in labor, and she had to make effort to push. I remember the doctor coming in, and he'd look at the computer, had kind of a thing when contractions would happen. He'd watch the line on the computer, on the screen, and he'd see a contraction, and he would have Christy push with the contraction. And she'd say, push, and Christy would groan and push to bring forth a baby. Well, that's the imagery of groaning I want you to see. Now, let's stop there. What is the imagery of groaning? That I am making an effort to push forward something, to bring forward the attributes of the outward body that I'm going to get, the new eternal body that I'll get at the sound of the trumpet, will be a body and a outward soul that only wants God, desires holiness, doesn't want sin, doesn't want money. It only wants to please God and do God's will. That's the body that God has for you and the outward soul that God's going to click onto your inward man that'll be perfectly in unity, and you will end up being whole, body, soul, and spirit, completely light. Until then, we are groaning to bring that forward, not the eternal body, but the principles, the characteristics, as if I had an eternal body. What would I look like when I have my glorified body? If I was sitting here today talking to you and I had access to a glorified body, I got a special deal. I got it quicker than you did. And here I am sitting here on the earth talking to you in my glorified body before the trumpet sounds. What would I look like? Well, there'd be no sickness. There'd be no disease. There'd be no pain. I'd have no desire for selfish ambition, no desire to sin, to smoke, to drink, no desire to be lazy, no desire to be like the world, no hunger for trying to get super rich. None of those attributes of envy or jealousy or strife or anger from the flesh will be here because it's gone. The source of those things that you and I may fight with every day insecurity, fear, pride, envy, all those things are in the natural body, in the natural soul that's in the natural body. And if I had my new glorified body, I'd have no fight against God, no resistance, no desire. I'd only want to be with God, to fellowship with God, to please God. I wouldn't have to make myself pray, make myself fast. It would be natural because I'd be completely light, body, soul, and spirit. Until then, I am fighting against this outward body that was left on me at my salvation. My outward body and the outward soul, mind, emotions, and desires, was not fixed. It was left on me in its condition of death because of sin. But my inner man came to life. So now I have a battle every day between my inward man wanting to please God and wanting to grow in God, and my outward man wanting to live in this world and live like the world. And that's the suffering that we go through as believers, is not accepting the outward man as who we are anymore, but only accepting what the Word says we are, which is children of God. So in that, I want to groan to bring forward, like a mother brings forth a baby, to bring forward the characteristics and live this world while I'm on this earth, before I go to heaven, to live like my outward body is mortified, that it is only a vehicle. It does what I tell it to do, and I don't do what it tells me to do. That is the job of maturity as a Christian. The job of transformation is to bring forward the attributes of Christ, love, joy, peace, holiness, into my inner man, and then mortify the thoughts, desires, and deeds of the outward man, and to live like I'm completely a child of God, and my outward man has been mortified. Not, you don't harm your body, but you mortify the natural soul's thoughts and desires and plans. And so there is a groaning involved here. Much like when a woman is giving birth, it's an effort to bring forward those characteristics. That's the groaning. To groan means you have to accept that this is your purpose, this is your calling as a Christian, not just to witness, not just to feed the poor, but to actually grow up in God, mature in the love of God, mature in the characteristics of Christ, bring them forward into your life. And this is why we focus so much on spending time praying in tongues and worshiping privately and in meditating the Word and fasting, because these are things that help us to grow up in the inner man, to bring forward those attributes of love and joy and peace of Christ in you today. Not only when you get to heaven, when this body falls off of you, but now. That means you have to accept that I have to birth this and bring this forward. It's not automatic. When I got saved, I didn't automatically have the love of Christ fully in me. I didn't have the fullness of the peace of Christ in me. I had the nature in seed form, and now I must bring those attributes forward. And that's the groaning we're talking about here. I'm not accepting my outward man as who I am, and I am groaning with effort to bring forward the characteristics of Christ. Now, you can force yourself to try to love like Jesus, but you're going to fall short if that love hasn't grown in you. So this effort is not me trying to willfully make myself live like Christ, because that's impossible. You can't get the impossible from the possible. You often hear me say that a caterpillar cannot willfully choose to fly. It cannot make a willful decision, force itself to fly. We have a lot of caterpillars walking around, Christian caterpillars, with tattooed butterfly wings on their back. They bought the t-shirt that has a butterfly wing on it. They're calling themselves a butterfly, that they can fly, but they can't fly. They can say they can, but they can't. But there is a pathway where that caterpillar can fly, and that is to make the effort to go into a cocoon and to be transformed into a butterfly. And that is the message of transformation. Here we're reading in Romans 8 that you are to groan and make the effort not to love, but to get into the cocoon, that love will come forward. This is the groaning that I'm trying to show you, that we're groaning to bring forth like a new child, to bring forth a transformation where Jesus can walk on this earth through you now, not waiting until you're glorified. Because the moment you're glorified, or the moment this body falls off of us, we're no longer on the earth. We're no longer able to be have an impact on our families, on our cities, on our nation. And so we want to transform now while we're still wearing the outward body. How do we do that? Well, we grow up the inner man through praying and worship, through meditating the word, through obeying God. And at the same time, we mortify the deeds and desires of the outward man, the deeds of the flesh. So this is the groaning, okay? This is the effort that we have to accept. I am groaning. I'm making it. Now, how many Christians here have accepted, that you know of, accepted a life of serving God means I give God some time on the weekend. Sometimes throughout the week, I give him some time. I give money to the gospel. I go to church on Sunday, and that's my life. My life is to serve God on the side, but to be happy in this earth. I'm serving God. I'm giving finances so I can be blessed, so I can have abundance. I'll give some to the gospel, but really I'm trying to fill my life with things that I want. I want to have a nice house, a nice car, finances to bless people. And all that sounds good and is good. But here, how many Christians do you know are not groaning to bring forward the characteristics of Christ? They're praying for it, but they're not making the effort to get into that cocoon to transform to where the actual love of Jesus is birthed on this earth through you. The actual peace that Jesus had, the characteristic, came forward from the new nature and showed up in your life as fruit. That is the groaning we're talking about here. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. So this groaning is, I know some people teach that this groaning is intercession, or that this groaning is praying in tongues. Well, praying in tongues and intercession can be part of this groaning. But this groaning is the effort you're making to bring forward Christ in you, the hope of glory, to bring forward the characteristics of Christ in you, because you are trapped with this outward body. You cannot just pray it away. You cannot identify it away. I'm no longer my outward body. You cannot make it disappear. You must mortify it. You can't believe away the outward body, the outward soul. You must mortify it. This is the groaning we're talking about here. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's you have that new nature in you, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So the adoption is that you've not been adopted. You are in an adoption process, and you've been birthed of God. But the completion of the adoption process is that you receive that redemption of the body, that the trumpet sounds and your body, the outward man and the outward soul, is glorified to where it is suddenly light and righteousness and all the emotions, desires of that natural man are gone. Because now your outward body is as righteous as your inward body, as righteous as your new nature. And that's when the adoption process is complete. Right now, it's not complete. Right now, you're in the process. And that's why you have to groan, because he couldn't give you the new outward body yet. But he will. But for you to be effective on this earth, to bring forward God's love on this earth, for you to have an impact on this earth, you can't just wait until God fixes your outward body. Because that doesn't happen until everything's done. And then the adoption process is over. And the rest of eternity, you'll be just like Christ without effort, without groaning, without forcing anything. You will be completely whole, spirit, soul, and body, complete. That's when the trumpet sounds. Until now, you're incomplete. Until now, you must make an effort and groan. I know many Christians who live their entire life, and they don't groan at all, ever making the effort to bring forward the characteristics of Christ. They make an effort to be like Christ. They make an effort to be nice. They make an effort to be holy. But that's not the groaning. The groaning is a birthing. It's a bringing forward of the impossible forward through your inner man. that is the nature of Christ in you as a seed, has an image in it of Jesus and all of his holiness and all his love and all his characteristics, the groaning is I am making an effort to bring those forward, to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. You take a seed of an orange seed and put it on a table and look at it and say, bring forward fruit. Well, it can't because it needs to grow. See, but if you plant it, it will grow and it will bring forward fruit without effort. So the groaning is not making the fruit come. The groaning is in the growing and the maturing. That's the growing. So I'm trying to make a case here that the groaning here is you getting into the prayer closet, even though you don't want to. You fasting, even though you don't want to. You spending time with worship when you have a pull not to. You spend time meditating the Word when you feel a desire to do other things. This is what many Christians struggle with. And it's so much easier to go feed the poor than it is to go grow, because growing is groaning. Groaning causes an effort to make myself pray, to make myself worship. You would think it would be easy because these are great things. I'm going to go spend time with God, the Holy Spirit, for a couple hours and pray in tongues. You would think that would be great. Oh, wonderful. What a glorious thing. I'm going to go spend time and worship Jesus. Spend time in Jesus' presence and be blessed. Oh, wonderful. You think that would be easy, the easiest thing to do. But no, something in me keeps trying to distract me, pull me out of those things, to get me busy. No, we can go do this. We should do that. We should be out doing this and this in God's name. We can do that later. Why is there a pull away from those cocoon type things? Because my outward man does not want me to go in there. My outward man is okay with church, is okay with doing things for God, but it will not submit to me spending time praying in tongues or worshiping, because that's diminishing its power over my life. And that's the groaning we're talking about. Groaning to fight, to bring forward the image of Christ in me forward, to grow up, and then the fruit will come. Love, joy, peace, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And we who have this first fruits, we groan within ourselves. We are also groaning with ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the completion. We're waiting until we receive the new body. Until we receive that new body, we're supposed to be groaning, making an effort to birth the inner man, to bring forward the attributes of the inner man, to bring forward the fruit of the new nature, love, joy, and peace. That is the groaning. The groaning is not just making a noise. I had one lady preach one time when I was young and in Bible college. She said, we need to groan. You need to throw ashes and wail and groan that God will bring forward change in your life. And so she made all of us Bible college students go up to the altar, a whole bunch of us, but 100 of us were at the altar because she told us. Said, you need to groan. Groan. So there we are all laying on the floor. Oh, what does a groan sound like? Trying to make a noise, trying to groan. But we weren't groaning from our heart. We weren't making an effort. We were just making a noise. And because she said, you got to groan. Well, see, this groaning is not you making a noise. This is you making an effort, and in that effort, there's a groan that I'm not going to let go. When I take my dog and he has his bone, I'll sneak up on him, and he'll be chewing his bone, and as he's chewing it, his eyes will see me coming, and he'll stop chewing, and he'll put his paws on the bone and actually hide the bone in his mouth as far as he can go, and he'll watch me as I come close. And when I grab the bone real quick, he'll growl, and he'll fight me. He'll resist me because he's groaning against me. He's not going to let me have that bone, and he's making an effort to keep it. Well, there's a groaning when you make an effort that comes out because you're trying to do something. You're trying to make something happen. In this context, the groaning is birthing a baby, is bringing forward something new. It's not making it happen. You don't groan a baby. You groan to push out the baby. You don't look at a car that's stuck in the snow and go, oh, move. And the groaning isn't what makes it move. It's the effort. And the groaning is because of the effort. It's the pushing that brings forward, makes the car move. And so the groaning here in my view, is the prayer closet. It's the time worshiping. It's the things that I know to do that my outward man fights me against, that I have to make an effort to go pray. And once I'm in prayer, I love it, but there's times where nothing in me wants to pray. There's times where nothing in me wants to worship. And you think that's crazy because those are wonderful, amazing things. But why am I having to make it happen is to spend the time, because my outward man is resisting those things. It's trying to get me out of the prayer closet because it's figured out that it does not win in the prayer closet. My inward man wins, but my outward man loses. When I worship God, my inward man fellowships with the very love of Jesus himself. But my outward man is unfruitful. It doesn't enjoy that love. My outward man wants to be comforted, but not mortified. The day my outward man figured out, I went to the prayer closet. It was exciting because I thought when I prayed in tongues, I would get a new car and a big house and a great big ministry. But every time I prayed, God began to deal with me about living holy, about loving my neighbor. And eventually my outward emotions figured out that my time in the prayer closet benefited my inner man, but not my outward man's desires. Where's the new car we're supposed to get? We just spent weeks praying in tongues for hour after hour, and I don't see a new car yet. And my outward man figured out that it was losing every time I prayed in tongues. And once that happened, my outward man began to resist me when I went to go pray and tried to tug a war me away from prayer. And I had to make the effort to drag myself to the prayer closet. I know it doesn't sound spiritual. Alan, Pastor Alan, you should, I thought you just prayed all the time. Well, I do pray a lot. That's my heart. That's my mission in life, to pray so that God comes forward through me. But it's not easy, is the point. I've had to discipline myself to pray. Sometimes it's beautiful, it's easy, but many times I have to do it out of discipline, out of groaning, to make myself go pray in tongues so I'll grow up and the love of Jesus will come forward. I cannot make myself love like Jesus, but I can make myself worship God, and in that time of worship, yield over my spiritual man to the presence of Jesus. And his love begins to saturate me. I begin to grow in his love. I can make myself read the Bible. And you think, well, that should be easy, right? You're a Christian. Reading your Bible, praying, fasting, maybe not so much, but worshiping Jesus, that should be easy. You would think so, but your outward man will not allow itself to be mortified freely. And that is what I'm trying to say the groaning is here, that you've chosen to accept that I have to bring forward Christ in me, the fruit of Christ in me, the holiness of Christ in me, the love of Christ in me, by going to that place of change, transformation, praying in tongues, worshiping, reading my Bible, and obeying what God tells me to do. And that is the groaning, that's the effort, and I'm trying to make that case with you, that too many Christians aren't even groaning. They're not even worried about change. They're just happy. Their Christianity is, I'm going to heaven, I said the sinner's prayer, and I'm going to do best to live nice, to live right, to be kind. I'll do my best to love my neighbor, and I'll go to church, and I'll do good works. And that's basically their whole Christianity. But they're not groaning to bring forth the inner man. They're not groaning to bring forth those characteristics that God needs in us to be able to bring the power of the Holy Spirit through us. Verse 23 again. But not only that, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. We're eagerly waiting for the new body to be replaced in this old body, the outward soul to be replaced by a new outward soul of righteousness. But until then, we groan. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? This is the apology of God to you, saying, I apologize, I had to leave you in that outward body. And that you have to fight that outward body's desires and plans, ambitions for you. Fight that outward body's desire to live life now instead of die. And I'm sorry you have to stay in that fight, but that's the hope that I've left you in. If I gave it to you, you wouldn't even need hope because you'd have it. But But now I have you have a hope that you can win today over your outward body. So when you decide to go pray in tongues, I'm going to set time aside to go pray in tongues, and you feel resistance, another plan, an argument against spending time with God, a desire to go out and do things, all of a sudden, when I want to, I can go on a fast. I can write down, usually after I have a big meal, and I say, you know what? I'm going to fast for 3 days. I feel this excitement. Yes, I'm going to do it. It's because I just had a big meal. And the next morning, like I can go, you know, 12 hours and not eat and be fine. But the moment I say I'm going to fast, all of a sudden I have an argument, a hunger pain to go eat, to go do something, because my body begins to fight me, trying to resist me. When I say I'm going to go pray in tongues for, I'm going to go pray in tongues for 4 hours this morning, and you set aside time, and all of a sudden you start to hear all these plans. Hey, we need to go do this. We should go do that. It's because the outward man is trying to manipulate me to stop spending time praying and go do something productive for it. And it's not bad things. It's not telling me, let's go to the bar, let's go drink, let's go get drunk. It's saying, let's go do good things. Let's go feed the poor. Let's go do something productive. Because it wants to be productive, but God's plan for your outward man is mortification. So that's the hope. The hope is, it's not always going to be hard. And the hope is, eventually in the eye of eternity, it won't be like this forever. Because when the trumpet sounds, you'll never have to fight again. You'll never have to make yourself do anything again. You'll only by nature be a child of God and want to live your whole life in the presence of God. But until then, you have this fight. And that's the groaning. The groaning is the effort that you make to bring forward the characteristics of Christ. Okay, this is the effort, the noise, the groan is what happens when I make that effort to bring forward the characteristics of Christ into my inner man and to shut down the plans, desires of the outward man. That's the groaning. Verse 24, for we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? For if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait with it with perseverance. See, when your Christy was having labor with Harrison, she couldn't just stop. Say, I'm done. Can we take this up tomorrow? You know, I need a break for about 24 hours, and then we'll try again tomorrow. No, this is no stopping when you're giving birth. You got to finish the push, persevere until it's done. And this is the perseverance that I won't quit until Christ is formed in me. Christ formed in you didn't happen when you were saved. You received the nature of God in you when you were saved. But now that must be formed in you. Christ must be formed inside of your outward man. And as that characteristics of Christ, his love, his joy, his peace is formed in your inner man, that is the groaning that I am groaning with this hope, and I will persevere. I won't quit. It may take my whole life, but I won't quit. If I have a bad day, I get up and I do better tomorrow. If I went to pray for an hour and lasted 10 minutes, I kick myself in the rear and I'll do it tomorrow. I persevere until I form Christ in me. Then he says, you're not alone in this fight. You have a helper. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses. See, that's the groaning, that I refuse to accept my outward man as who I am, and I am groaning against it, making an effort to make it, mortify it, to put it down, the desires and plans of the outward man, and making an effort for the inner man to grow forward, the new nature, to bring forward the fruit of Christ in my inner man. That's the effort. And with that, I have a helper called this Holy Spirit who helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I've heard it preached that groanings is praying in tongues, and I will agree with that groaning can be praying in tongues. The praying in tongues is the Holy Spirit helping you and with groanings. So the groanings isn't necessarily the praying in tongues. It includes praying in tongues. It includes intercession. It includes everything you do. It includes you walking to the prayer closet or walking to your car to go to the church to pray. that is groaning, that I'm making my outward man follow me into the presence of God. And praying in tongues is a big part of that. But groaning isn't only praying in tongues, but praying in tongues is the biggest part of that, I think, that we can have. That as I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying through me exactly what I need to mortify the flesh and build up the inner man, to help with my weaknesses, my battles, my struggles. Most Christians, when they come to a struggle, why do I want to sin? Why do I want to be lazy? Why do I not want to go to church? Why do I not want to grow up in God? When we fight those things, anxiety, jealousy, envy, pride, those emotions, most of us could only pray, God, help me. Take it away from me. God, help me. And we wonder why he doesn't just zap me and take it away, because the only way, he will zap you one day and take it away. And that's when the trumpet sounds and you get a new body. But until then, he can't. So you have to deal with your own outward man. And how do we deal with it? With groanings. That I'm birthing the inward man, the characteristics of Christ, that Christ has formed in me. And that is the groaning, the effort I make to make that happen. The effort I make to go into the prayer closet, the effort I make to worship and to read the word, those are the groanings, because I am making that effort, I'm groaning, and praying in tongues is a big part of that, because when I pray in tongues, he is helping me to build up the inward man and mortify the outward man. So in this process of groaning, of not accepting your outward man, not just trying to live life for the best life now, but to grow up in God, to grow up Christ, that Christ is formed in you, that they no longer experience the love of Ellen, they experience the love of Jesus through the body of Ellen, that they experience the very peace of, do you imagine that you and I can actually have the very peace of God, of Jesus, the same peace that Jesus walked around this earth with, that can be in me, that's who I am. But it doesn't come automatic. So many people are praying that God will download his peace from heaven down to them. But it's not downloaded. It's grown from the new nature. It's grown forward. And that's the groaning, to help it to grow forward so it becomes part of me. Not just the peace, the joy, the love of Christ is formed in me. The very love of Jesus that he had, because I have his nature in me. I don't have a different nature or a lesser nature. I have his nature in me. And I am able to bring forward, but it's not automatic. It must be grown. That's the groaning. Likewise, the Spirit helps with our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession. That is praying in tongues. The intercession, the Spirit himself making intercession, is the praying in tongues for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I can't utter a groan. I can't describe it. I have to. It comes out of me because I am refusing to stay the same. This is the groaning. Just like a woman giving birth, she's groaning to bring it forward. You can't articulate it. It's got to be done. I won't accept anything less. Now, with this understanding of the groaning and bringing forward the inner man, mortifying the outward man, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So this intercession, again, is the praying in tongues that goes with the groaning. So I don't want you to think that unless I groan, now like in intercession, I groan, nothing changes. I want you to know that when you pray in tongues, that's the intercession. The groaning isn't so much that groan that comes out. It's the effort that you're making to not accept your outward man as who you are anymore and to form Christ in you. And here he says that the intercession, the praying in tongues that you do, it says that you are praying according to the will of God. So that means when I, because I refuse to accept who I am, I spend time praying in tongues. As I'm praying in tongues, I'm interceding. The Holy Spirit's interceding through me, praying the perfect will of God in my life. So I'm praying out the perfect will of God like a path before me. That means when I come to a place of decision, where do I live? Who do I marry? What career do I take? I'm actually have prayed out the perfect will. It's easier for me to follow the perfect will because I prayed it out. And that means that as God sees you, the enemy come to attack you, to cause trouble for you, which he does and he will. when the devil comes to put roadblocks in front of you or struggles in your life, that you've already prayed a path of God's will through that moment of struggle, through that moment of battle. And because you have lived a life of groaning, bringing forth the will of God in your life, bringing forth the characteristics of Christ in your life, that you've groaned and you've relied on praying in tongues and worship, you're making that effort, because you've done that, you prayed out the perfect will in your life, you can now claim verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. So who gets to say that verse? Who gets to know without doubt that no matter what turmoil, battle, struggle I'm going through, no matter what it is, no matter what life throws at me, no matter what the devil throws at me, I have prayed out the will of God and I'm going to go right through it and it will not stop me. It won't be pretty all the time, but you will get through it no matter what the devil throws against you. So the message today is, let's keep groaning. Let's keep making that effort to cause the fruit of the Spirit to come forward in us. Don't make an effort to love. Make an effort to grow. And the love of God will come forward in you like fruit on a tree. And it'll be there for the rest of your life on this earth. And one day, God will send at the trumpet a new body. And you'll never for the rest of eternity have a battle, a struggle, a sickness, a disease. No more depression. No more sorrow. No more pride. No more envy. All that will be gone because the outward body will be replaced with a new eternal body. Let's live a life of making the effort to cause the inner man to grow up and the outward man to be diminished. I love you. I appreciate you taking time with me today. God bless you.